It's the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. With about a week to go in this year's spring session of the Illinois General Assembly, there are still more questions than answers when it comes to the state budget and whether it will collapse under the weight of the massive tax breaks and deep cuts and poverty health care spending and other areas that the Congress is considering to the federal budget in Washington. We are talking about what's going on in Springfield in a few minutes, but first, the so-called Big Beautiful Bill that passed out of the House early Thursday morning. We start our weekly political review with Illinois Public Media's Washington correspondent, Linda Kenyon. Linda, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Brian. Good to be here.
Let's start with what is in this federal budget proposal. What are some of the big policy takeaways from this legislation in its current form, the one that passed the House on Thursday?
Well, the bill presently, it's about 1,100 pages long. It includes efforts to raise the state and local tax deductions. It also includes a phase out of clean energy initiatives. It includes what the GOP is calling Medicaid reforms. Some states are saying they're not reforms at all. Those are some of the main issues, but it also raises the federal debt limit by $4 trillion over the next 2 years and packs that into one, as the president calls it, one big beautiful bill. Now, normally the debt limit situation is done in a separate bill. This time it's all together. Whether it ends up that way will remain a matter to be seen.
Let's, you mentioned the, there's so much to pick apart in here, but you mentioned SALT. That is something that applies to, people often talk about New York, California, New Jersey, but Illinois is one of those states where people have, you know, there's a good amount of income tax here. There's property taxes can be pretty high, especially for wealthier people. What would exactly change under this proposal?
Well, the state and local tax deduction was $10,000. So that would mean you wouldn't be double taxed on anything up to $10,000. And in many cases, people's property taxes could be even much higher than that. Now, this bill raises it to $40,000. Now, that may not seem like a lot, but when you're living in, for example, a big city, certainly on the East Coast and certainly in places in Illinois, you will find that your property values are pretty high, and therefore your local taxes, your state and local taxes, are also pretty high. So being able to deduct that from your tax filing is a very good thing for taxpayers, but it's a sticking point with a lot of Republicans in Congress. They say that if they raise the state and local tax deduction, known as SALT, up on Capitol Hill, then that will decrease the tax revenue and add to the deficit. So that is a major sticking point. It did pass in the House, but I will pretty much guarantee that when it gets to the Senate, they will be part of a vigorous debate and probably will undergo several changes.
And that's a good thing to keep in mind for everything we're saying today. This is very preliminary in the process. The Senate will have its prerogatives to negotiate here as well. What about healthcare spending? Medicaid is something that has been much discussed. I'll just throw a couple of numbers out there. Here in Illinois, something like one in four people is on the Medicaid health insurance program, which is something like 3+ million Illinoisans. There are some significant cuts could be coming down the line, though, right?
That is true. Medicaid is one of those very large, what they call entitlement programs. And other entitlement programs, in other words, things that you pay into with your paychecks from the time you get your first paycheck as a 16-year-old, for example, would be Medicare and Social Security. Now, Medicaid not only helps the indigent, but it helps provide health care for millions of Americans in every single state. And that is in part due to the health care legislation, which became known as Obamacare, where people can buy their health insurance through Medicaid exchanges or Obamacare exchanges, which are run by the states. And as a result, cutting Medicaid would be a big issue, especially for a lot of red state senators who are going to have to sign off on this when it gets to the Senate, because they have a huge number of their constituents who get their health care through Medicaid. And by the way, hospitals and doctors are paid by Medicaid in many, many instances. And so this could become a problem, especially for rural hospitals and for doctors who would face the prospects of not getting paid for the services they provide.
And it seems like there were also specific targets at some more, what would you say, blue state policies, I guess, like with Medicaid in terms of paying for reproductive health care or abortion, things like that. Gender-affirming care, I saw, was going to be restricted under this proposal, particularly of concern in blue states, which pay for those services.
Yes, that's true. And those Medicaid payments could be affected significantly in this bill if they remain in place. Another one of those situations is a provision that requires able-bodied Medicaid recipients to go to work. And that could be a problem because some people may be considered able-bodied and when they're really not. And how do you make that distinction? And who makes that distinction? For example, if it is a person with dementia who has no problems physically considered able-bodied, this is going to be a matter of very large controversy.
So there, I'm old enough to remember, as they say, when Republicans would talk a lot about the federal debt and deficit and how concerned they were about that and how, you know, foreign governments hold so much of our debt and they're going to have this over us. And now we seem to be making more adversaries than friends on the international stage. And also, what's this going to do to the federal debt?
The debt is a major concern for Democrats and Republicans alike. But Republicans, of course, since they control both the House and the Senate, have been speaking out loudly about this situation, while many of them are very concerned that this is going to raise the federal debt limit. We know, for example, that Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky has already said he's going to vote against this bill when it gets to the Senate, unless Republican leaders remove a provision that would raise the debt limit by $4 trillion over the next 2 years. This is a major issue for fiscal hawks. Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin, also a very outspoken fiscal hawk, says that he will vote against the House bill as it is currently drafted. He said there should be a goal in this Republican Senate budget resolution to reduce the deficit, not increase it. He said, we are increasing it, and that is a non-starter from my standpoint. This is just a small sampling of what this bill is up against when it gets to the Senate. Keep in mind, Republicans are in the majority in the Senate, but it's a very slim majority, and they cannot afford to lose votes from the Republican side of the aisle because you know the Democrats are not likely to support this bill.
And yet, and we're almost out of time, but and yet, where were the fiscal hawks in the House? They rolled over for this, didn't they?
Members of the House Freedom Caucus were summoned to the White House earlier this week. They were against it because of some of the fiscal concerns. And when they left, most of them had been persuaded to vote for it. I will tell you, though, that the next day when the House did vote for this bill, it passed by only one vote. That shows how tight it really was.
All right. Well, I'm sure we will talk more about this in the weeks and months ahead as this process continues to unfold. Linda Kenyon, thank you as always. Have a good weekend.
Thank you. You too.
This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We are in the middle of our Friday review of politics and government. We turn now to Springfield, where the Illinois General Assembly's most pressing order of business is figuring out our taxes and spending for the budget year that begins July 1st. With me now to talk about what's been happening is Ben Zielinski, State House reporter for Capital News Illinois. Ben, welcome back to the 21st Show.
Thanks for having me, Brian.
We've just been talking with Linda Kenyon, our Washington correspondent, about the ongoing federal budget negotiations. We've known what's happening in Washington is going to have downstream consequences here in Illinois. But what do we understand right now? Where do things stand after, you know, especially after what we saw with the federal budget that passed in the early morning hours of Thursday this week?
Yeah, it's a little bit hard to say exactly what has actually changed in budget talks for state lawmakers because of what was passed out of Washington. I think it's really just made the whole situation a little bit more real for state lawmakers that now there's actually something tangible on the table that has passed one chamber in Congress. And so lawmakers I think, have a better idea of what might be coming as far as the spending cuts and other new requirements for the state in areas where the state is probably going to have to step up if the state wanted to continue providing the same level of services that are provided by a lot of these co-state federal government partnerships right now.
You know, you mentioned law, it's become real for lawmakers. And there has been so much turnover in the General Assembly in recent years that, you know, there are very few lawmakers still around who had to deal with the Great Recession and even the budget impasse of 10 years ago. Do you get the sense that they're sort of have they come to terms with what it means to have an austerity budget when we haven't had that in such a long time now?
Yeah, I think that's what's really being stressed to them by the more senior members in the General Assembly. I know Senate President Don Harmon and Speaker Chris Welch, to an extent, have both told their caucuses that, hey, there is not a lot of room to do new businesses and do these new programs that you want to see. They've both told their caucuses that they need to temper their expectations for this year. And I know when we were speaking with Senate President Harmon earlier this week, he was saying that yes, there is a lot of new members in the General Assembly who have not experienced this. And I think that's potentially going to be one of the bigger challenges for Democrats passing the budget, is that lawmakers just may not quite realize how bad it can get and how challenging it is to balance priorities and, continue to provide all the services that people in the state expect when there is very limited money coming in, such as COVID or the Great Recession or those various other times we've had budget troubles from Blagojevich to Rauner. So I think that's kind of, potentially going to be one of those things that potentially holds up discussions in the coming days, is that lawmakers just, some of them don't quite realize how hard this situation is for the state, and especially with uncertainty coming up in future years if a recession were to hit.
We're already looking at cuts to healthcare for non-citizens in Governor Pritzker's budget proposal. Now, with this possibility of cuts to the Medicaid program, which is healthcare for the elderly, poor, and disabled, coming out of Washington, how much leeway does Illinois have to step in if those federal cuts come to pass? Could Illinois make up the difference?
No, virtually there is no leeway the state has. These are hundreds of millions of dollars of costs, that the state has long shared with the federal government. What we've seen out of Washington is that there's going to be some potential reductions in matching or reimbursements, especially for states like Illinois that provide health care to undocumented people. But there's also those questions of, certain services that we're seeing being taken off the table for Medicaid in Washington, such as abortion coverage, for example. The state, if could continue to provide abortion as part of Medicaid coverage, but it would need to be the state of Illinois that provides that funding up front, and the federal government's not going to be covering any portion of that. So that's the big challenge for lawmakers, is that, it's kind of, in some ways, I think, potentially an either-or situation where, lawmakers could find a lot of new funding either through various cuts or significant tax increases to continue providing, the same level of health care as that Medicaid covers now, or they're going to have to let some of this go and people are going to lose, coverage for certain services, or some are going to lose coverage altogether under Congress's plan.
One of the things, there have been competing proposals out there. One of them would have, you know, sort of reckon with these potential challenges now, do the kind of austerity planning now. Another would say, just hope for the best, knuckle through this, and then we'll come back later in the year if we have to figure out the shortfalls that, because the federal government budget, it just passed the House, not still needs to get through the Senate, as Linda was saying, and that could be a long process. So where do you understand lawmakers in Illinois are on this?
Yeah, I think they're certainly leaning towards the we'll pass our budget and then we'll see what Congress does, because you're right that there's still a whole nother chamber of Congress that this needs to go through. It also needs the president's signature. So, this is something that's not going to be answered here in the final days of the spring session. These are answers that are going to come later in June, July, at some point in the summer. So I think Illinois lawmakers are really approaching this as we're going to pass our budget. We're going to see what Congress does. If we need to come back and make changes, we will do that. I think one of the silver linings that a Republican lawmaker pointed out is there's a lot of future effective dates in Congress's plan that are 2027, 2028. So state lawmakers, for some areas of this federal budget, have a few years to prepare for this. They don't necessarily need to come back in the next few months to make changes for something that's going to happen in a future state fiscal year. The challenge really is trying to decipher what is being changed immediately and if the state wants to pick up any additional tabs for people to continue to provide services or needs to make changes to their own budget based on requirements that Congress passes that the state needs to cover more for certain areas.
Just about a minute and a half remaining in our time together. What else is on your radar? What are you going to be watching for in this final scheduled week of the legislative session?
Yeah, public transportation reform, especially in the Chicago area, is the big thing that we haven't seen lawmakers address. That is a whole nother conversation that also involves the state budget. We know that lawmakers are getting close to an agreement on how to make some pretty substantial reforms to the public transportation agencies in the Chicago area. But how that's going to be funded remains very unclear. A lot of folks say all sorts of funding options are remaining on the table, but there's certainly a lot of other options that are pretty unpopular, especially a funding option that would require downstate residents to pay more into a public transportation system to support the Chicago area that they may not necessarily benefit from on a consistent basis. We also don't really know exactly how this is affecting conversations about reforming for downstate public transit agencies, which face their own separate funding challenges. So we're going to be watching those over the coming days here, but it's not necessarily an issue that needs to be addressed in the next week, but certainly by the end of the year.
Well, we appreciate you being there to cover it and sharing your reporting with us. Ben Zielinski, State House reporter at Capital News, Illinois. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Brian.
Coming up after the break, a new art exhibit in Rockford is going to take us back to the 1990s. This is the 21st Show. Stay with us.